is now open at the corner of Palma and West Mall, right here next door to City Hall. If you haven't already, please stop in and grab yourself a cup of coffee. The 28th Annual River and Creek Cleanup will be happening this Saturday, September 28th, from 9 a.m. to noon, and volunteers are needed to help take part in cleaning up the Salinas River and the Atascadero Creek. If you do plan to volunteer, check in with the Atascadero Mutual Water Company at their yard at 9 a.m. That's at 6575 Sycamore Road. Please make sure you bring your gloves, buckets, and water bottles. And we'd like to give a big shout out and thanks to the Atascadero Mutual Water Company, Waste Management, Chicago Grade Landfill, and the City of Atascadero's Public Works Department for being involved in hosting this annual event. The ECR project continues, the construction continues, and for the week of 9/23 through 9/27, contractors are currently working on hardscape, irrigation, storm runoff planters, and electrical work on El Camino Real at the corners of East Mall, so that's the southeast corner there, West Mall, the southeast corner of West Mall, and Traffic Way, the northeast corner of Traffic Way. Continue to please expect lane shifts and traffic delays while we work through this project. Hardscape drainage work also continues at ECR between Colony Cinemas and Vino Inns and Suites, and also on the other side of El Camino Real in front of Mr. Putter's. Those areas that are no parking will continue to be marked. And then as road work continues, please make sure you're following along through our website at atascadero.org/ECR project. That's where you can go for more information. If you have questions, you can reach out to the Public Works Department, 805-470-3456. The Atascadero Chamber of Commerce, their fall sit and shop is this Friday, September 27th. That will be from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Those attending will have the opportunity to enjoy over 20 tasting stops that will it'll also include complimentary tours of historic City Hall. It's a great way to get out and support the downtown merchants and restaurants. And please, if you'd like to go, don't wait to purchase those tickets. They're on sale now, both online at atascaderochamber.org and visit atascadero.com/events, or you can go in person to the chamber to purchase your tickets. And tickets, while if they are available, you can get them day up. National Night Out will be taking place October 1st from 5 to 7 p.m. And the Atascadero Police Department would like to invite everyone to come join them on this fun night. National Night Out is an opportunity for the community to come out and learn all of the things happening in the community, to learn more from the Public Works Department, learn more from the Police Department. It's a great opportunity to meet your public safety partners as well as your neighbors and just gain safety tips and enjoy a variety of exhibits and exhibitions here from our community partners. The City of Atascadero is excited to announce our Fall First Fridays entertainment for October 4th. That'll be in the downtown. It's featuring Carbon City Lights. That will be at the Plaza on El Camino, so across from Sunken Gardens, starting at 5:30 p.m. You can enjoy live music, plus explore the variety of restaurants and entertainment options here in our downtown. The concert, if you do plan to attend the concert, please bring your low back chairs and your wallets, as we will feature a fantastic food truck, Mary's Cuisine. And as a reminder, our Fall Fridays are always free to attend. And just a reminder that Colony Days will be happening the next day. That's October 5th. That's our annual community celebration. That goes from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with a parade that begins at 10 a.m. There is a new parade route. The new parade route starts here on the back of City Hall, so on Lewis. It will travel down to 41. And then from 41 on to El Camino Real, and then it'll come back as it normally does along West Mall. So So if you are planning to attend the parade, please just make sure you're aware of that new parade route. The festival in Sunken Gardens starts following the parade, and there will be a variety of vendors, entertainment, food, and of course the favorite wiener dog and small dog races, and those will start at noon. Also, as a reminder for the Colony Days parade, applications are, the deadline for that is September 27th, this Friday. So if you would like to participate in the parade, please get those applications in. And just a reminder, this is our annual community gathering and celebration, so please come out and celebrate with us. And finally, we'd like to announce that one of our residential waste drop-off weeks, our fall waste drop-off, will be happening October 19th through 26th. Remember, this is a free event for waste management customers here in the city. Please reach out to waste management to request your voucher. The voucher pickup dates are October 14th through 28th, and you can reach out to waste management at 805-466-3636. It's really important that you make sure you call the local number. Again, that's 805-466-3636. And you'll see flyers start coming through announcing the waste drop-off, what is allowed, what is not allowed. And October 19th through 26th, again, that you take your, you get the voucher like we've done in years past. You take it to Chicago Grade, and you can do that. It's Saturday to Saturday, and that's 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. And as a reminder, all event information for city and city-sponsored events, the zoo, and all things to do here in our community are available at visitatascadero.com. And for all city-related business, please check out our website at atascadero.org. And if you have any questions, let me know. Thanks so much.
Yes. Regarding the fall cleanup, I think you had said people could pick up certificates or the, you know, the little thing that lets you go to the waste, to the dump. Is October 14th, you said, through the 28th?
October 14th through 18th.
18th, okay.
Yes, for
that
voucher
makes
pickup.
Much more sense. Can people come during the week of the 19th through the 26th to pick up, like if somebody comes in on the Thursday before the last Saturday, they can still pick up the certificate?
The dates they told us were the 14th through the 18th, so I don't know. We can follow back up on that to check in and see if they'll let you in after that 14th through 18th date.
I seem to remember that I've always gone in during the week, so it would be good, and maybe if we could get that information out on social media. I know a lot of our residents really rely on that twice a year. It's a great benefit that we get, so make sure we get that word out in the dates. Love to see all the downtown things. I want to thank the businesses. I know I've talked with a lot of business owners, and I'm sure, you know, everyone throughout the city has, and a lot of them are like they're excited about this downtown project, but it certainly is having an impact. And I thank you so much for your patience and the really like good attitude that you have about it. I know it can't be easy, and I want to thank all of our residents who are continuing to support our downtown businesses. Come out for these events that we have, the first Friday, the Art and Wine Walk. I still call it the Art and Wine Walk. I know that's not it anymore, but the downtown wine stroll and all of the things going on, and please support your local businesses. I know it might be a little harder navigating past a few cones, finding a parking space, but please, they do rely on us, and I know they greatly appreciate it. Any questions that we have? Okay. Next, we have our community forum, and this is the part of our meeting where any members wishing to speak to the council on something not on the agenda tonight, but over which we have jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we allot a total of up to 30 minutes for community forum. So we ask speakers to state their name for the record, and we will start with our first speaker.
Good evening, Council. Jeff Hoslin, resident and business owner here in our wonderful community. First of all, with waste management, if you do call the local number, hit option 3. If you hit any other option, you will be transported somewhere out of our county, so I would say hit option 3. Secondly, let's talk about graffiti. Graffiti, we've just gone through all this stuff, at ordinances here, and we have a sign ordinance, so this is where it's leading, Madam Mayor. Our city's been tagged with these god-awful reptile signs on private property, city property, all up and down our wonderful city. Probably wouldn't matter if it was a week or two out for the event, but we're at 6 weeks out on an event happening in San Luis Obispo. I think it's disgusting that these people come into our community, put signs up anywhere and everywhere, whether it's on city or private property, and don't think it's a good thing. I know it's now gone to code enforcement. I now actually heard this afternoon it did go to Director Dunsmore and his staff, and I actually would like to hear what the results were, because it is in violation of our sign ordinance, and I think it looks horrible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oslin. Next speaker.
Good evening, Council. My name is Richard Mullen. I live here in Atascadero, and I'd like to speak to you about something I've talked to the Council about before, and that's the interchange of Highway 41 and El Camino. If you coming down our Highway 41, if right past Atascadero Avenue, there's a Caltrans sign, and it specifically states the right-hand lane where the south northbound freeway, the center lane for the El Camino, and are straight ahead, and the third lane is for El Camino going north. You get up to the freeway where the overpass is, and it actually goes to four lanes, because now you have a right hand heading on the southbound. You have the two lanes going straight ahead. Excuse me, those are three lanes there. You go under the freeway, and now it becomes a five-lane road. Two going north on El Camino, one going south. You have one for El Camino and one for the freeway. So we started back here about a quarter of a mile, saying three, and now we're up to five potential lanes. I think it's up to Caltrans, and I wish the city would really dog Caltrans to mark those lanes clearly. The right-hand lane, after you go under the freeway, is for the freeway going northbound. There's nothing that indicates that. We have a lot of people in that lane going over into the El Camino lane. And that creates a real problem, in my opinion, potential problem. This weekend alone, there was a big tractor trailer that was in the freeway lane, and they went all the way to the center of the El Camino, that lane there. So I think it would be good for Atascadero to dog Caltrans to put the signs up and maybe even paint on the road the different lanes where they go. I mentioned it before that on the bridge there are three bolts. So they have signs, they thought about signs, but they've never done it. I think it would be in our interest to have them do that and maybe even paint the road for the different lanes to indicate for people that aren't familiar with this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mullen. Anyone else wishing to speak? Community forum. I'm seeing that none, so I will go ahead and close community forum and bring it back to council and staff. Mr. Mullen, I think that is a completely reasonable request. we put the bicycle markers around traffic way, so I'm pretty sure we can talk to Caltrans. So I will ask Public Works to follow up with Caltrans. I think that was a very, very smart idea. With regards to the graffiti, the signs that Mr. Oslin mentioned, Ms. Christensen, do you have, I'm not with our community development director not being here, I'm not really sure who to direct to, or we should get back to him after the fact.
No, I'm happy to answer that. We did have a discussion. those that were placed in the public right-of-way were addressed at the end of last week and removed. Mr. Dunsmore did reach out to the promoter to have a conversation to explain what our sign code rules are, and the promoter of the event was going to have his sign guy come back up into the city to remove those signs that are in violation of our code. So we're working through that process and hoping to see some movement there. Unfortunately, some of them are on a private property, and so we can't just go and remove those because we don't know if the private property owner did or did not give permission. So some of that is still figuring that out and working with the promoters to ask them to please remove those, or else we do have to go through the code enforcement process.
Okay, thank you. Next is our, is our nothing. We have no public hearing, we have no management reports, so we'll move on to council announcements and committee reports, and this is each council member letting one another and the public know kind of anything we've been up to in the community and any of the committees on which we serve, maybe what the status of that is. So I will start on my left with Councilmember Darris.
I don't have a lot to report, but tomorrow I'll be spending a good portion of the day with some members of our city staff at the Visit SoCal's annual celebration of what has happened over the past year, what is happening, and what will be happening as far as tourism goes in the, around the county. So it's always a good event. I'm looking forward to that. We should get a lot out of that. So that's all I have. Thank you.
A couple things. At the IWMA meeting, we approved in closed session the purchase of a piece of property that would enable the IWMA to sell its main building and get out, and because we're losing a lease on this little annex that has a couple employees in it. And then we announced, came out of closed session and actually announced something, which was that the board had approved the purchase of a particular piece of property still near the near downtown Slough. And then on this Friday, we have a city finance committee meeting here in this building at 11 a.m. in room 106 in this building. We'll have a finance committee meeting. We'll discuss some changes to investment and purchasing policies. And then on Wednesday, October 2nd, we have the city school committee meeting, which will be held at the school district office.
I have nothing startling to report, but I did want to mention that I was at a meeting recently with Wendy Lewis at ECHO, and ECHO has now housed almost 180 individuals in this calendar year, getting them back into permanent housing. Plus, they have prevented homelessness for another 70 individuals. So they continue to serve us in very powerful ways.
Thank you. We'll be joining Councilman Borbo. Finance committee on Friday, and again with the city school meeting at the high school. Thank you. I want to thank Councilmember Borbo, who went to the countywide mayor's meeting for me last Friday. So thank you very much for that. Anything you needed to report, probably. Usually there's not a lot of reportable things, but.
I forgot to mention, though, that the guest there was from Wildfire Institute at Cal Poly. And he gave a presentation on wildland-urban interface mitigation and really how, you know, the insurance industry is in a, you know, talking about all of the cancellations that people, including our residents, are facing, that, you know, it's stemming largely from changes in fire behavior, and therefore insurance is all about measuring risk, and that in this current environment it's extremely difficult for insurance companies to get a handle on what is the true risk going forward. And we talked about that. It was an interesting presentation. No solutions for going, but it was a very interesting presentation.
Again, thank you for attending. I have no committee reports. I do want to say I went to an event last Tuesday that was supporting Proposition 36, which we all voted last meeting, two weeks ago, unanimously to support, and I was happy to be able to let them know. This is gaining a lot more support. This is really a nonpartisan issue throughout California, so I want to thank my council members. It's something we rarely do, bringing propositions forward, but it's an issue that had been part of our legislative platform and something we know that deeply impacts our community from a safety perspective, a health perspective, and so thank you all for that. And with that, I will see, ask if we have, I don't see anything on the agenda, but do we have any individual determinations or actions? Seeing none, meeting adjourned.
At this time, AM 1230 KPRL concludes this portion of the Atascadero City Council meeting, brought to you by Idler's Home. More of what you want for your home. Go to idlershome.com. We invite you to join us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month for the Atascadero City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Anybody want to vote for this thing? No? Okay, boom, dead. Why aren't Republicans doing that? Do you know?
Well, I mean, to be fair, they don't have enough votes to force that.
Well, not now, assuming they take a majority in the upcoming election.
If they get a majority, I'm pretty sure that's going to be one of the things that they turn to. I'm pretty sure, Lars. But in the meantime, what's really concerning is that these arrangements, these treaties, whether it's the International Health Regulations Accord that the World Health Organization approves, again, in the dark of night when nobody was paying attention, you know, just pulled it off. They are seeking emergency powers, and they seek to exercise those emergency powers. Same thing with this, and it falls to the United States Senate to stand up on its hind legs and say, no, we're not going to do this. And Lars, as you know so well, and you use your platform, thanks God, for, you know, the purposes of educating voters and your listenership to understand the stakes, to be informed voters. That's the critical thing, because if they are, we'll get the Senate to do the right thing, and who knows, we may even get the Biden team to pull back from what they're trying to do.
By the way,
I'm not holding my breath on that. But
no, maybe. There's one more I wanted to mention to you, because I talked to a tech guy earlier today, and he was telling me that, ordinarily when goods are shipped by the, these large containers to the United States from China and other places, mm-hmm. but when they come from China, ordinarily those boxes go back empty. Because we certainly don't have anything to match what comes into this country, you know, to fill those boxes up and when they're sent back to China to be filled once more with consumer goods and all the other nonsense that they sell us. And he said what the Chinese have started doing is literally scooping up dirt, meaning they're going after rare earth elements, REEs they call them. And he says they're filling these boxes with dirt because the box has to go back anyway. There's a slight extra cost that it's a box full of dirt. And they're literally taking some of this stuff from the United States because they will process it there in a way that we won't do here. And they're doing it under our noses. And I asked him, I said, shouldn't the United States government, even not through the Congress, I'd love to see it through the Congress, but if you just said this is a national security risk, if we're shipping all these REEs back as ore, and the Chinese process it, and they continue to maintain a stranglehold on all the rare earths, not just against us, but against the rest of the world.
You're so right. It's another supply chain dependency, and it's outrageous that it's one of our own making. You know, we are reluctant because of, you know, sort of the dirty business that it is to be doing that kind of processing in our country. But there's going to come a time when, if you don't have those rare earth minerals, as they're called, you're going to have a national security problem on your hands.
Yep.
And that time might be at hand.
Well, I mean, imagine this, the day when we say, well, we have these fancy fighter jets, but they all run on chips, and all the chips come from China. And you say, well, that doesn't work out very well when our military is now dependent on chips coming from the biggest antagonist on the planet against the United States. I mean, I would say, fine, just say, in the same way that it took Secretary of State approval, Hillary Clinton, to sign off on that uranium deal that benefited Russia and not the United States, it came at the United States expense, say that has to be signed off on by President Trump's new Secretary of State. And if he doesn't say yes, the dirt stays here. That's Frank Gaffney from the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C. Back with your phone calls and emails. You're listening to The Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show.
Ace Auto Care in Itasca.